right, if you go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. We're actually going to go back to 12 for just a second. We did not finish that last week. 1 Samuel chapter 13, though, is where we're going to spend most of our time, I think. We'll see, depending on how things go. But again, reminded that Saul and the Israelites, they were excited about the fact that God delivered Naash. The Amorites came up against him, and they made that they said, "We'll make a covenant with you, and that is, we'll pluck out your right eye, and you can be our servants." And the folks at Jabesh-Gilead, the leader says, "Well, give us 7 days to figure out something." They did, and Saul, he got wind of it. Well, he just came out of the field, and remember, he was upset about that. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he sent, cut up a couple oxen, a yoke of oxen, it says, and he sent those throughout the coast of Israel. And he told all the people that, "If you don't come and help us, this is what I'm going to do to your cattle." And they had a great showing. They had 300,000 people show up, plus 30,000 of Judah. And so they came up, and they came up against these folks, and of course they won the battle. And so they were excited about that. God had led there. God had demonstrated his power there. And yet Samuel, he was warning the people, and that's what he's doing in chapter 12. He goes back and he's telling them, okay, this is what you wanted. God's going to allow you to have this. This is not God's best, by the way, because God did not choose this. The people did, this particular king, that is. And so he says, "But if you will fear God and follow him, God will bless you." And he stood before the people in chapter 12, and he told them, he says, "Is there anybody here that has anything against me?" Of course, he was old at the time. "And have I took any of your yoke? Have I taken any of your money or whatever?" And the people stood, and he stood before the king and God there, and said, "As God is my witness," and nobody could come up and say, "Yeah, you've done us wrong." So he had a clear conscience with the people, and he knew that he was no longer the leader, and he was really turning that over to Saul. And that's kind of what he did, but he just wanted to remind these people that you need to follow God. So pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 12, and I want you to look at verse, I think it is 20. Now, in this chapter, we saw that Saul was rehearsing God's deliverance and telling them to remember some things. The first verses 6 through 11, it was remember the Lord. In verses 12 through 19, it was fear the Lord. And we come to verse 20 through 25, and he's saying, obey the Lord. And so look at verse 20. It says, "And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word this morning. As we continue to look through the book of Samuel, there are many truths here that we can learn as you have demonstrated your power in the lives of these people. Also, we have seen when they turn from you that you also demonstrate what you exactly tell them, and you chasten them. Father, we understand that is the truth. That is who you are. You're a God of righteousness. And Father, you have a people of righteousness, those that are born again, that have put their faith and trust in you. And you have delivered us from the bondage of sin that we are in because of our nature. And you've given us the opportunity to do that which is right. And as Samuel is teaching the people here, just to fear God and to obey, Father, we too need to continue to learn those lessons. I myself realize there are many things that I need to continue to grow in. And Father, as we look to you, we want to trust you in every matter in our lives. We pray this morning that you would guide and direct in each one of our hearts, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this little section here, Samuel's comforting the people. He's saying, fear not. Of course, they understood that they had done some things wrong. They admitted their sin, and they said, we have sinned. And yet, he said, God still loves you. God still cares for you. And this is a point that we all need to understand. As Christians, as anybody in this world, God loves us all. Okay? Can we say amen to that? Amen. How do we know that God loves us all? Thank you. That's right. The Bible teaches that. God doesn't always love what we do. He doesn't love the nature that we have. But he still loves us, and that love is demonstrated by sending Jesus to take care of the nature that we have. And so when we put our faith and trust in God's plan, in this case, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross, and it's the only plan. If we do that, then we become the child of God, and now we have a different relationship. We are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a disciple is someone who is learning about the Lord and learning how to grow and live and to walk in what? The newness of life and this godly life that we're called to live. And that's what Samuel is trying to demonstrate or to remind the people here. Even though they had disobeyed, God gave them mercy. I am so glad, the Bible teaches us this, that even when we do wrong, God still loves us, and we know that because he chastens those he loves. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I know everyone in this room would, myself included. We've all experienced some chastening in our lives. And if we haven't, then you're not a child of God. It's that simple. Okay? And the Bible teaches that very thing in Hebrews chapter 12. You can study it out. But here he's trying to remind them that now you have a new opportunity. God is letting you off the hook for your bad decisions. You just have to understand that you've made some decisions that weren't right. So he gives them four imperatives right here in verses 20 and 21. It says, "And Samuel said unto the people, fear not," that is, he's telling, "that God loves you." And as Julia mentioned, John 3:16 demonstrates that to us. And then he said, after fear not, he says, "Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord." He said, yes, you have made some mistakes, you've done some things you shouldn't have done, but now, let's turn not aside from following the Lord. And that's important for all of us to get, is understand. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said this to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And so there is the point that Samuel's trying to make, is turn not aside from following the Lord. We as Christians, we have a cross to bear. And that cross that we have to bear is to deny the world, to deny ungodliness, and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a thing that we live all our lives struggling with and trying to come and reconcile what the Word of God says and what our life is doing, what we're doing in our lives. And so we know it's a struggle. We can see it in the Old Testament. We can see how everybody in the Old Testament, especially the children of God, which were the Jews, they struggled all the time. But they also, when they cried out to God, God changed their direction. He helped them, actually, crying out to God. He sent a prophet that taught them what to do, how to live right, and they applied that in their lives, and God blessed them. Were they perfect? No. But they knew that turning not aside, God is going to pour out the blessings in their lives. So we learn that you're to serve the Lord with all your heart. He said, but serve the Lord with all your heart in that same passage. And that reminds us that the Bible teaches us, you know, when the lawyer was talking to Jesus, that you're to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Everything you do, you want to love the Lord. Now, that's hard to do. Because it's easy to say, I love you, Lord, and then turn aside and not do what he says. Not be faithful to the things of God. It's easy to do. And every one of us struggle with that very thing. But it's something that we learn and we grow in this process. So, and really, more than our actions speak louder than words, no doubt. But our heart, really, the motive of our heart doesn't always come out in our actions. In other words, everyone in this room say, I love the Lord with all my heart. And you really want to do that. But we don't always do the actions that demonstrate that. Does that make sense? I mean, I know it's hard, but that's my heart. My heart is, I want to serve God. I want to live my life according to the scriptures. I want to follow and do what he says. But do I do it all the time? Paul said, no, I don't, in Romans chapter 7. So he told them to serve. So first he said, fear not, turn not aside from following the Lord. He said, serve the Lord with all your heart. And then in verse 21, he says, and turn ye not aside. And he reminds them again. The fourth thing is to turn not aside. Why? He tells them right there. Excuse me. I got a ringing going on. Okay. So he tells them to turn not aside. Why? Because you'll get caught up in what everything else is going on that you don't have any business in. He said, turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. And what he's saying is, love not the world, neither the things in the world. Why? Because those things will pull us away from the things of God. The world is all about me, myself, and I. That's what the world's about. Now, there are some good people in the world. There's some moral people in the world. There's some people that want to help other people. But when you get to the bottom of the whole thing, get to the root of the situation, it's still about me, myself, or what is it? Me, myself, and I. Did I say that right? Oh, I'm getting old. But anyway, we get to the root of that very thing. And we Christians have the same problem, do we not? Who gets fed first in the house? Who gets waited on more than somebody else, or this or that or whatever? Are we working together? Are we loving each other and taking care of each other, submitting one to another? Are we doing those things? Well, we're trying, and we're working that direction, that's for sure. But still, me, myself, and I get in the way, and we struggle with that. And that's what Samuel is reminding the people of. Don't let this happen. And, you know, sometimes we forget, and we allow ourselves to be dictated by the world. You know, there's so many things out there, and there's so many things that drive us to do what we do. There are things out there that maybe aren't good for us, but there's nothing else. And so we think in ourselves, well, I've got to choose this because there's nothing else. Well, I believe God can provide something else. It's always going to be choose that which is godly over choosing something that is not. Always. That's God's direction for us. Always. And as you study the Word of God, you'll see that. But the key to the whole thing is learning that those principles and being able to apply them in our lives, which is not always easy. He says in verse 22, he says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Do you remember why he made them his people? That's right. Abraham believed God. That was the basis of his choosing those people. Why? Because of Abraham. It's the fact that Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. He obeyed God. Was he perfect in his obedience? No, he wasn't. God told him to go to the land of Canaan, didn't he? There's a famine, and what did he do? He didn't seek God's face. He left and went down to where? Egypt, which is a type of the world. So he made a mistake. He didn't do what God told him to do, and he lied about it. On top of that, about his wife, and on it goes. And that's the way sin gets us. It grabs us, and it runs with us, and it won't let us go. And, of course, the world and the devil and the flesh are all involved in that. So in verse 23, he gives the final admonition of this passage here. He says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. What? Samuel sin against the Lord? How's he going to sin against the Lord? What's it say? What's he say there? Is that not a principle that we need to understand? The Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're to pray for one another. Verse 17, it tells us that. If we're not praying for one another, you know what we're doing? we're sinning. It's that simple. And there's another principle that we can take from the Word of God in the Old Testament and apply it in our lives, and we can look at it all through the New Testament, and you'll find that very principle for us as well. That we're to pray for each other. I don't know about you, but I need the prayers. Because I can't do it on my own. And so he says that for him it'd be a sin not to pray for these people. He says, but I will teach you the good and the right way. He said, I'm going to show you that which is right, and I'm going to continue to teach you. Why? Because God wants these people to understand what his word is and what it says and how to live by it. You know, it's not something just to go to church and read the word of God and go out and then that's it. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever done that, because I'd have to raise mine, both of them. My feet would come up off the ground and I'd float out of here. No, sure we have. But that is not why we're here. And if we're coming with that attitude and that thinking that way, then we're wasting our time. Our relationship with God is just not right. Because God wants to provide something for us. And that's why we meet at this place, in this place we call Calvary Bible Church, which obviously the people are the church, but that's why we come, is that we might learn and grow. Has anybody arrived yet? I want to know, because if you have, come tell me about it. I want to know how to do it. I'm not there yet. I've just not even gotten close. And I'm wondering, you know, some people I think they have, because they're not willing to do anything else. I'm done. I don't need to be involved with this. I don't need to do anything. I'll just go out and do my own thing. That's not biblical. God established the church, or Jesus Christ established the church, and he did it for the purpose of training the saints to do the work of the ministry. And that's why we're here. And that's why Samuel is telling the people there that I will help you. I'll teach you, and he says, the good and right way. And then verse 24, he gives them the admonition, and it's really two things. These two things will really resonate in our lives. If we'll get these two things, the rest of it, again, it comes to the point that loving your God with all your heart, with your mind and soul, he says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. And if we can get a hold of those two things, it will change our attitudes. It'll change the way we look on the outside, because what takes place on the inside comes out on the outside. If you're rebellious, you're going to look rebellious. That's the way it is. You can see it throughout the world. That's why people run around naked in this world. Why? Because they're rebellious. They don't care about God. I don't know about you, but Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, they realized they were in sin. And they tried to change that themselves. And God killed some animals and made them coats, as we remember. So he says, fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Today, everyone in this room, just as Samuel is rehearsing in their ears and in their minds, look what God did when he delivered you from the Ammonites. Now we can say, look what God did for us when he delivered us from the bondage of sin. When we accepted him as our Savior, did it change your life? Did it make a difference? Or was it something that, well, you know, I got saved, I'm going to heaven, and that's it? Nothing else happened? Didn't put a little fire in you, understanding, man, I've got something special. Something happened to me. It literally changed my life. It made me different inside. It made me think about things differently. Man, the way I used to think, it's a whole lot different than the way I think today. Can you say amen? I hope it's true in your life. Because if it's not, you're missing something. Something had to happen when you got saved. It wasn't, dear Lord, please save me, get up and walk out the door the same you came in. If that was how it happened, I want to tell you, you need to come to the altar today and let's sit down and talk. Because it's not real in your life. It really does make a difference. And you know when it happens. It's an absolute thing that the Holy Spirit will come into you and live inside of you. And that's what Samuel wants us to understand, is that as God's people, we will have a desire to do God's work. We will have that desire. That means, yes, we'll have desire to see somebody else saved. We'll have desire. Now, I understand those things wane. It's just like anything. If we quit coming to church, it's easier to not come to church. If we quit reading our Bible, it's easier not to read your Bible. Even a Christian has those same tendencies. If we stop thinking about people as lost, we won't even think about saying anything about the Lord to them. That's backslidden condition. Okay? And that's where we have to understand that we don't want to stay in that condition. We want to move forward for the Lord. We want to trust Him. Consider the great things He hath done for you. I tell you, and every time we have testimonies, or most every time, most people will go back, at least one or two, will go back to that point of salvation. Why? Because that was a mark of demarcation or whatever to them in their lives, that they had a stake in the ground. That's when I got saved, and that changed my life. But hopefully your life wasn't changed for one day. Hopefully you're moving forward, and your life is changing continually. Now, I don't know about you, but if you come to me with a thought or an idea, I probably won't like it right away, or I won't warm up to it like some people do. You know, some people, you tell them something, and they're ready to do it. Let's go do it. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But I have to think about things a little bit. It may be just an hour. It may be a day or whatever, because I'm thinking, hold it, what's going on here? You're moving too fast for me, you know? I remember, Rob, you mind me using you an example? It's too late anyway, right? No, when we had a men's prayer breakfast one morning, and we were talking about doing the church and fixing things up, and it was supposed to be not that big of a project, because we thought we'd just have the siding put on and tear this little overhang or whatever you want to call it off or whatever. Anyway, it ended up being a lot bigger than that, and it always does. And we guys, we're learning this, aren't we? That when we think the job's going to take 2 days, it's going to take us probably 2 weeks, okay? And there's always more to it that's not seen when we get into things. But anyway, that's not neither here nor there. But what was interesting is that we came away from this prayer breakfast, walked outside and just walked around the building, looked around, and Rob says, let's tear that thing off now! Come on, let's do it right now! I'm going, hold it, Rob. Let's think about this just a little bit. No, I love that zeal, because we need that. Now, also, we need to temper that sometimes, because we want to make sure we plan. Now, I'm not trying to embarrass you or anything, because I think that was great. I love somebody who's wanting to do something. I would rather have 10 people like that and somebody to help before we tear the church down, but that want to do something, than have 2 people that want, or 50 people that don't want to do anything, because you don't get nothing done, right? And so here's the point, is that that's the zeal that we need in our lives for the Lord. Just like walking out and seeing that needs to be tore down, let's do it right now. Well, let's get in the Word of God, and when it says do something, let's do it right now. Let's take care of it today. Let's move forward now. Why? Because there may not be another day. There may not be another opportunity. We have no idea. So let's learn faithfulness and trust. It really boils down, and Greg shared a good message, I don't know how long ago it was, brother, in Sunday school, and he said, before you can obey, you got to trust. And that's the problem. We don't trust. That's all it is. We just don't trust. That's why we don't obey. When I don't obey something the Lord is showing me, it's because I don't trust Him. I don't think He can do that, or I think I can do it better. And I'm learning more and more I can't do anything better than the Lord. There's no situation that I'm smarter than He is. None. But yet I'm still going to fight with Him. You know, that's my nature. But the fact is, God wants to do something in all of our lives. In verse 25, he says, but if ye shall still do wickedly, he's giving them the final warning here. And this occurs all throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. But if ye still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. He's telling them, if you choose, and everybody gets to choose. Now, that's a whole other subject, and I don't even know why God did it. You know, when God put those two perfect people in the garden, and he gave them everything, and it was a wonderful place. He could have just took that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he could have hid it, or he could have just not even made it. He could have done anything he wanted to do with it. Why? Because he's sovereign. He can do that. But why he didn't do it, the only thing I can think of is that he wanted Adam and Eve to demonstrate their love for him as much as he loved them. And they failed. Now Eve, we know, was deceived. But it's the woman! And we know better that Adam, he disobeyed. That's worse than being deceived. Because God told him, specifically, before Eve was made, not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So again, we all have opportunities to make a decision. A sovereign God knows, and he wants us to reciprocate that love. That's how he put his plan. That's why his plan is so simple. It's not a plan that you have to be dunked in the River Jordan 7 times, like Naaman, okay? He had a hard time with that, didn't he? He had other rivers he could be dunked in. And he really was pompous, and he didn't want trust, but his sword bearer or whatever said, hey, you do anything great, why don't you go do this? And he did. By believing what God said, he was healed. His leprosy was gone. And so it's the same for us. If we will just trust God in that situation, he will take care of us and bring us through whatever we're going through. And that I'm not saying it's not going to be painful. I'm not saying that you might even die through this situation. But still, trusting God is better, knowing that he's on your side, than not trusting God. And that's a lesson that we all have to not only learn, but practice. And one other thing, we're going to close. This is something I learned a long time ago too. And you probably would know this, and you probably learned this as well. Is that you really don't learn anything until you can regurgitate it. Does that make sense? I mean, you can sit in a class and listen to somebody tell you something, but if you can't go practice what he told you, did you really learn it? I don't think so. Because you have to be taught again. Now, we know that teaching involves more than hearing. It involves the actual hands-on and the doing. And that's when you can demonstrate that I know what I'm doing is when you learn it. And when you can teach somebody else, you definitely have got it. Okay? So often, I know, because I sat in classes for 12 years and got through it, but barely, by the skin of my teeth, you know. I just barely made it out of high school. I didn't care. I didn't have parents that were driving me and encouraging me and say, you need to do this. I had one thought in my mind, I'm going to the Air Force. I didn't have to learn nothing because you can be dumb in the Air Force, I guess. At least that's what I thought. But the point is, we want to learn something. So when you come to church and we study the Bible, we hear what the Bible says. I'm hoping that we're going to go out and do what it says. Because there is where you've demonstrated you've learned the Word of God. That's why it's important that we memorize Scripture. It will help us in the long run. And the sooner we can get it in, the longer it lasts. Young people get it in them, and it'll last a lifetime. You get it in me, I might hang on to it for a week. Maybe, if I don't keep going over it. But that's how we learn. We want to learn God's Word and then demonstrate it. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your time that you give to us, the time that we have. And when you establish the church, understanding the purpose behind that, help us all to be faithful to the things of God, to look to you, understanding that you have greater things for us, and that our plans and the little things that we come up with don't mean a whole lot if we leave you out of it. Father, help us all. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.